Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace time. Let's get to work, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Play my music. Yeah, Football Friday. Football is back. After a bye week, a much-needed bye week, we've got football. There was football in our lives anyways, but Texans football is back in our lives, and we are ready. We are ready to dig into this Dolphins game this weekend. Welcome in.
Never been more ready, Sean.
On a football Friday. That's how you get to be the best in the world, man.
Best in the world. I was listening to Tony Robbins before we came on. Ready to be the best in the world.
Good.
I'm not
going
to let my fears hold me back,
no,
Sean.
No. So it's a
Tony Robbins did a little bit of gentle bullying to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically said, who do you think you are, not thinking you're anybody?
Right.
You know, just go ahead. Be the best in the world.
Yeah.
If you're a man, that's what he said.
Yeah, it's a choice. It's a choice to be the best. It's not coincidence. It's a choice to be the best in the world. So here we are, Football Friday. Not the greatest appetizer last night to get the weekend going.
That was my
Santa
goodness.
Clara. Yeah.
You know what? Every time it's funny, like back in the day, Rams versus 49ers, it might have been one of those matchups where you'd say, hey, wow, they've reinvented the game of football. Oh, I guess the future of football is it's going to be 57-53
right.
Every week. Yeah,
yep.
It wasn't quite that. Not quite an offensive outpour.
We're still waiting for a touchdown. For those of us who had three players on your fantasy playoff team playing in that game last night, and if it wasn't a kicker, that was not a good night for you last night. So yeah,
is the Rams versus the Chiefs on Monday night, right? Where everybody acted like, oh, yep, this is the future of the NFL.
It was, yeah. It was that was a game. I think it was in Mexico City. It was a Monday night game in Mexico City.
That
they played
part
each other.
Of the future.
Yeah, the final score was both teams were in the 50s that game. They're like, this is the space age football we've been waiting for.
Yeah, maybe when you take two of the best passing attacks in football and put them at 12,000 feet of altitude, there might be a little bit of Remember Schaub? Schaub in Mexico City looked like a young John Elway. He was just launching it.
Schaub
that was
or Brock?
That was the Van Gogh game.
Schaub or Brocky? Brock Osweiler.
Probably Brock.
No, that was no. Schaub was, that was in Denver. That wasn't in Mexico City.
Oh, it was in Denver. Yeah, that was high in Denver. Altitude, not as high as Mexico City.
Right. That was 2012. Yeah, 2012.
So both those guys, Brock had his best game with lasers pointing at his eye in Mexico City at altitude. But Schaub in Denver looked incredible.
He did.
The Van Gogh game where he almost lost half his ear.
That was the peak of the Matt Schaub era right there.
That was that, man. That altitude does wonders for your
Deep
one
ball.
Time, Brandy and I were in Colorado in the summer. We were in Telluride. I rented a Jeep, and we ended up going up to like one of the 14,000-foot peaks. And I wanted to see how fast it felt to run at that altitude.
How'd that go?
It felt incredible. Yeah. This is while I was still playing, so I was like 310 pounds.
Yeah.
It felt incredible. And then immediately afterwards, and for the next 5 hours, I felt like I was going to die.
Yeah, don't go, dude.
Don't go going max exertion at 14,000 feet.
You got to be careful, man. You
I do not
careful.
Suggest it at all.
Hey, there was, and we're going to get into plenty of Texans today. Don't worry, we're going to do the 6-pack here in about 15 minutes or so. 6 storylines for the game. Storylines, you know, matchups, things like that. We'll do that in just a little bit. There was some drama after this game last night. I like to watch 49er games because this is, in some ways, the team the Texans are being modeled after. Not totally. You know, obviously, Nick has his background with the Patriots. I think the Texans are a nice blend of thought processes and backgrounds and pedigrees and whatnot. But, you know, D'Amico is steeped in the Kyle Shanahan tree. This offense is supposed to look like some semblance of the 49er offense, and the 49ers have struggled this year. They've been 6-8. They are 6-8 after last night. If you missed it, they lost 12-6. There were no touchdowns scored in last night's game. But boy, the drama after the game. Tavondre Campbell, who they signed in the offseason for a little linebacker depth.
Yeah.
I don't know if they signed him in the offseason or if they got him during the season. They've been dealing with a lot of injuries everywhere, the Niners, including Dre Greenlaw, he's been injured of late. Got a big ovation last night. He was the last one out of the tunnel when they were introducing the defense. And he left during the game with an injury. The thought was that Campbell, he's a veteran player, Tavondre Campbell, came over from the Green Bay Packers, was that he would be second on the depth chart. Well, no, they sent in D. Winters when Dre Greenlaw went out of the game. And then D. Winters went out of the game. So now you're down to the third string, which on the depth chart is Tavondre Campbell. He chose not to go into the game. He just left. He walked to the locker room in the fourth quarter with a towel over his head and didn't play a snap. They asked him to go in the game, and he's like, nope, not going in.
He was out with a sore Achilles tendon. And I'm eager to hear what comes out of this, where, you know, it's still 4 a.m. Pacific Coast time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the telling thing for me was, all right, when I first read it, was he had an Achilles tendon issue of some sort, and he didn't want to go back in the game. So maybe he was just freaked out by that, didn't want to tear his Achilles. But the response by George Kittle and Charvarius Ward and everybody else after that, I don't know if it was that simple.
Are you sure that it's
probably
that it's
not
Campbell? Because Greenlaw was coming back from an Achilles injury.
Oh, it was Greenlaw with the Achilles.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So for Tavondre, it was not an injury.
It was not an injury at all. That's why they're so angry about this. Yeah, Greenlaw.
Thank God this isn't a solo show.
Greenlaw was coming back from an Achilles injury. So he's having to manage that. D. Winters, Campbell thinks he's going in after Greenlaw. Instead, they send in D. Winters to go in for Greenlaw. And then Winters is dealing with a neck injury, so he's got to come out of the game. So they walk over to Campbell in the second half and say, your turn. And he just puts a towel on his head and goes to the locker room and just bails. This is Kyle Shanahan after the game.
Happened with Tavondre Campbell. He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point.
Yeah, he didn't, said he didn't want to play today. Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So
during the game or before?
No, that was in third quarter.
Third quarter. Guy just puts a towel over. It's the lead story on SportsCenter right now.
This is, there's a lot of drama in San Francisco right now. They've got a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs. Or did last night knock them out? Whatever. They're not making
they're
the playoffs.
They're 6-8, so whatever.
Yeah. This is the kind of incident that gets coaches fired. You know, like whether it's right or wrong, it's the kind of thing where owners look at it and wonder, hey, wait, what the hell's actually going on here anyway? I think the thing that might have salvaged it is the fact that the teammates, the other veteran leaders on the team, where it's not like they were like, hey, no, we need to hug him and support him at this time. They were not happy with it.
Kittle, we'll have Kittle audio for you during headlines on this. The Kittle audio on this is outstanding. We'll have that. We'll get that for headlines. Charvarius Ward spoke out about it. You're right. A lot of times when stuff like this happens, the initial reaction by the team, coaches and players, is to keep it in house, at least for at least initially, right? Like, hey, let's assess the damage and see what's going on here. Keep it in house. Kyle Shanahan just went scorched earth on Devondre Campbell. Like, nope, walked off the field with it.
He just quit.
He just quit.
You know, like, Charvarius Ward said, for him to do that, that's some selfish bleep to me, in my opinion. He's probably going to get cut soon. And honestly, guys don't mess around with making statements about whether somebody's going to get cut or not. I feel like there's probably more of a background story here. This is the kind of thing where if it happens once and it's a solid dude, you're like, what the hell's going on?
Yep.
But for these guys to be that resoundingly against him immediately afterwards, I'm guessing that there's a track record here.
Yeah, after Campbell said no, the Niners inserted somebody named Demetrius Flanagan Foles into the game. He's the only healthy linebacker.
What a name.
He was the only healthy linebacker left on the roster, so he's now going into the game. And when the third quarter ended, that's when Campbell put the towel on his head and walked into the locker room. Shanahan said, people noticed, but when someone says that, you move on. That's somebody who doesn't want to play football. It's pretty simple. I think our team and myself, we know how we feel about that, so we don't need to talk about him anymore, end quote. You know what that's not, Seth, walking into the locker room? That ain't swarmy right there. I will tell you that right now.
It's a non-swarm mentality.
It is not, because I don't think D'Amico took the swarm mentality with him like, you know, some memento from the locker room. I believe that the swarm, they still like to swarm in San Francisco, you know. It's not an exclusivity thing here.
So SWARM stands for Special Work Ethic and Relentless Mindset.
Yeah.
This is more questionable mindset, questionable work ethic.
It's Quamquor. Yeah.
It's not as good an algorithm. It's not as good of an acronym.
Oh, it's a mouthful, man. It's a mouthful of marbles is what that is.
Questionable work ethic, questionable mindset.
Hey, the other big story coming out of this game, that Campbell story is amazing, by the way. Dude just walks off the field. Like, you're down to your third string linebacker.
And look, man, you, sir, are no Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I've watched Antonio Brown, and you, sir, are no Antonio Brown. You can't get away with this.
No. Jumping jacks. At least you jumping jacks like Antonio Brown did, you know.
Ultimately, Antonio Brown didn't either. That was his last appearance on a field.
It was, yeah.
on an NFL field. A couple little arena appearances,
Right. He didn't even play. The other big story coming out of this game, and I know you and I have differing opinions on this, the Brock Purdy contract extension. That's a big one that's come out of this. That this was a game, no Christian McCaffrey, no Brandon Ayuk. This is a game where at home, a franchise quarterback elevates his team in a must-win situation to at least more than two field goals in the game.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm not trying to start beef with you. I'm saying I listened to two national shows on the way in, and this was the Campbell topic. And the Purdy contract extension were the two big things they were talking about.
Wait, are you you're afraid that I'm like somehow some huge Brock Purdy?
You and I,
or
you no. But you and I,
Hold on, let me print out a picture to put on my background of Brock Purdy.
Okay. No. But all I said was you and I have differing opinions on it. I don't think they're going to give him the level contract that's been the going rate. You do think they're going to give him
Sean, it's been like 15 years of this, of like, well, they're not going to pay that quarterback that kind of money, are they? Oh, of course they are. Yes. The NFL's in a weird spot right now where owners and coaches fear any kind of drama with their quarterback. But I think sometimes it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where, the most extreme example of it was when the Jaguars traded for Nick Foles.
Yeah.
And Tom Coughlin, old school as there was a guy at the time at GM, gives Nick Foles a new contract that he had. I don't think anybody had any expectations they would give Nick Foles a new contract. And it's a huge contract.
Yep.
And thinking that you don't want drama there, you want guys to look at that guy as the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you do that, and if there's still questions about indeed whether the guy is a guy or not,
mm-hmm.
it creates resentment.
Yeah.
It creates like, wait a second, you're paying this guy
right,
and not me. So yeah, I wonder if Brock Purdy is in that zone.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying is I think you're right. No, obviously it's factual. Teams have done this with quarterbacks forever now. I think Kyle Shanahan's wired a little different. I don't think Kyle Shanahan's afraid of maybe having to dip his toe in the water. I think Kyle Shanahan's looking at Minnesota going, crap, we had Darnold on our bench last year. What the hell? What might he be doing this season right now with us if we had him? So that's all it is with me. I think it's very 49er specific for me. It has as much to do with Kyle Shanahan and his appetite for, okay, let's try something else at quarterback, which is how Brock Purdy wound up there in the first place, as it is Brock Purdy. It's to me, it's less about Purdy than it is about the 49ers in general.
And yet you look at, and without cherry picking, you go through a lot of the quarterback rankings and QBR and everything like that, and Brock Purdy's a top 10 quarterback.
Yep.
It's not like he's the one solely responsible for the 49ers.
The weapons are gone, and then he's last night. Payne and Pendergast with you. So that was Thursday Night Football last night. So it was the game itself pretty boring. The storylines coming out of it pretty fascinating. So we'll circle back to that at headlines. Let's get you ready for Texans and Dolphins. Six pack, six storylines, matchups, folks that are going to be prominent in this game, and we will give you my prediction. Seth gives his prediction in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll do that coming up next.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. All right, let's get into this Texans game. Six-pack style stuff. I'm excited just to have football back. I mean, the bye week was nice, but good to have a game to look forward to on Sunday here. Noon kick, 9 a.m. Texans countdown. You got me and Seth for that bad boy. So we're going to get you ready for the game today and on Sunday. So let's start here. Matchup I am very excited about, Seth. Thank you, Ben. Nico Collins, Jalen Ramsey.
Yes.
One-on-one. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. A possible future Hall of Famer at cornerback Jalen Ramsey against someone who, when he's been on the field, has been having a Hall of Fame caliber season in Nico Collins. Let's hit C.J. Stroud here real quick on Nico prepping for the Jalen Ramsey matchup.
Yeah, he's real, like, I don't say to himself, but he's motivated without you noticing kind of thing. Like, he's working to be the best. And I think that's just because he's been underlooked for so long and kind of just how he's been approaching the game is, I'm going to work hard every day and care who I'm playing against or what they say, I'm going to just do me. And now it's able to, people are noticing. But I think that, he's going to enjoy this game and, you know, look forward to seeing J-Ram. And I think Jalen is looking forward to maybe following him. We don't know yet, but, you know, definitely I think that, you know, Nico's up for the challenge and ready to roll. So, and I'm excited just to be a part of that. But I think he approaches everybody the same. And, you know, he's been an underdog for a long time. And I think that he keeps that mentality, which I think is a good thing. He doesn't ride the highs or the lows.
You know, Jalen Ramsey will travel with the team's best wide receiver, as Derek Stingley has started to do a lot more over these last four games. And, you know, and I was on Corey Barrett's Twitter spaces yesterday.
Yeah.
And, you know, he brought up that Derek Stingley's been traveling more. And I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't realize that he has been a lot more over the last four games, more so than I had even realized.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jalen Ramsey is that guy too, and you get to actually look at this like, oh, this is Nico Collins versus Jalen Ramsey. Probably it's not just Nico Collins the times that he's lined up against him. Jalen Ramsey's still a very good cornerback, and hopefully there's some bad. Hopefully we get vintage Jalen Ramsey talking some smack.
Oh yeah, yeah, driving in a Brinks truck. I'm hoping this is reminiscent of the Ramsey versus D-Hop battles back in the Jacksonville days for Jalen Ramsey. Those were fun reasons to look forward to those games against Jacksonville back in the day.
The notable thing about that, too, remember, was that DeAndre was one of the few receivers that Jalen Ramsey wouldn't talk any smack on.
Yeah.
He would just, I mean, he would say, you know, he wouldn't shy away from conversation about it, but they were battles. Oh, and yeah. DeAndre got the better of him a good bunch of times. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. With Nico being what he is and who he's been this year especially, yeah.
Yep, for sure. All right, number two, bye week discoveries, particularly on offense. Did they learn anything about themselves, the Texans, by self-scouting during the bye week offensively or on either side of the ball? But offense is where people have had agita over this season so far. Here's Bobby Slowick yesterday on getting to self-scout during the bye week.
There was a lot of tape to watch. Like, that was a long stretch we had before we could really kind of gather ourselves and go back through that process. And I think the biggest thing that jumped out is the difference in when we execute and when we play to the standard that we know we're capable of and when we aren't quite playing to the standard that we know we're capable of. I mean, there was a particularly kind of in the middle of the season, like, there was a stark difference. And no one holds our like us to a higher standard than ourselves here and on offense. And, you know, we've done a great job the last 2 weeks of really honing in on that standard and putting that out there more consistently and more often, starting with practice. It showed up in practice for probably 4 weeks. Then eventually it makes its way to the games. And I think the last 2 weeks we've done a good job of that in the games, and we got to continue to do that. That's really what December football is about. You know, it's a really big deal. Making sure we're consistent in our execution and in our commitment to what we're doing.
That is true. The thing you said at the beginning there, Seth, where, you know, self-scouting is one of the to-dos on the list of bye week things, right?
Yeah.
Like, spend time with the family, take care of household chores that have been on the deck for a while there, self-scout the team. Usually the bye week's like week 6 or week 7, so you know, they you know, plunk down 5 weeks worth of tape on your desk and go, here, self-scout. You got your bye week in week 14, like, in comes this guy. I'm acting like there's actual tape and it's not like digital anymore. But here's 13 weeks worth of football. Here you go.
This is what the one thing we talked about on that chat yesterday too was, you know, there's a part of me that wonders, okay, do they have enough old guys in the building? And if you think back to just, you know, Vic Fangio a couple years ago was working for the Eagles, but he was mostly working with the offense. So he's a defensive coordinator, kind of looking at the offense, seeing what he saw, the weaknesses and everything might be. I've always felt this way about the bye week. I don't think that there should be anything that you learn about your team in the bye week when, oh, all of a sudden now I've got some time to sit down and figure out what's really important.
Right.
Like, I feel like if you got – that's where having older consultant-type guys in the room that can be telling you this stuff on the weekly basis, that can pick up your blind spots, all of that. I don't want to wait until there's four games left in the season for the light to go off and say, oh.
Yeah.
But to Bobby's credit, I think what he said in a couple of these answers was that over the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've really hammered in on some of maybe the more basics or some of their staples – and identified what they do well, and you got to lean into that, which is nice, and I think we've seen evidence of that. The problem is this. Yes, we saw improvement versus the Jaguars. They're the worst defense in the, one of the worst defenses in the league. So if you look at the last four games, okay, Lions, good defense. Yep. You rushed for 56 yards.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Cowboys, bad defense. You rushed for 141 yards.
Hey.
Titans, good defense. You rushed for 40 yards. You know, yeah. Jaguars, hey, we got 108 yards rushing versus the Jaguars. We're back in business, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's you got to meet in the middle somewhere. You got to meet in the middle somewhere with the good teams.
Yep, you got to. You got to. I was shocked yesterday, Seth. I watched that, you know, that weekly video that they put out. I think the NFL puts it out each week, like the 5-minute video with the funny dude on there, that
the fun little narrator that makes pop culture references.
Yeah, yeah. Little stats, little one-liners and things like that. I was shocked to learn on that video that the Texans are 11th in the league in scoring on offense right now.
Right.
It does not feel that way, and that's where I'll give Bobby a pass on some of the "hey, we're close" kind of stuff. Like, they're 11th in the league, and they don't score in the second half of football games, by and large. Like, wow!
They're doing it with one half tied behind their back.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm like, holy crap, wow, they could just score points in the second half. And to their credit, they did against Jacksonville. Of course, they scored 6 in the first half. If they could just score in both halves of games, how amazing that would be. All right, let's keep it moving. Number three, life after Aziz Alshire. What is this going to look like this weekend, Seth? No, and I'll throw Jalen Petrie in there, too. but specifically Aziz in the run game, sideline to sideline, intimidation factor over the middle. This is a team that loves to use their tight end and loves crossers and things like that. What is this going to look like without Aziz Alshire?
I think, it's not going to be as violent. There's not going to be mass protests in the streets after this game because of Aziz Alshire's hit or anything like that.
Right.
Maybe there will be. Yeah, somebody will try to revamp it.
Yeah.
We've got a situation in our building here where we have a lot of planned protests.
We do.
We get an email like a couple times a week like, hey, by the way, there's a demonstration outside.
Yeah.
They're not protesting us. It's a whole other situation.
No, not yet.
So... Christian Harris, I don't know how much he's going to play. Mm-hmm. I think that they're monitoring their GPS data and all of that other stuff right now to figure out exactly how he's responding. So if he plays and how much he plays, I think we're going to notice him when he's out there. But the linebackers and the safeties have a huge challenge this week, and it's that the Dolphins are just so good at misleading you, lying to you. They're a deceptive bunch. This Tua Tagovailoa, he's a
liars,
liar.
Liars.
He's a liar. Yeah,
liars. Dishonest.
They get everybody thinking that the play's going left, and then all of a sudden, oh, look at that, dook, to the right.
Yep.
The run pass option, all that. It's a lot of stress on the linebackers. So, they played 3 games without Aziz Alshire earlier this year, and I thought that all those guys did better in relief than I thought they would. They're not as good as Aziz. So, with the addition of Christian Harris, my panic meter isn't huge. But there is a lot of pressure on those guys.
Yep. Number four, and this kind of ties into probably life after Aziz in some way. Like this is probably more Petrie thing if we're being honest. The no big chunky chunk plays this game, and they give up a lot of them, as you pointed out this week, Seth. 6th in the league right now in 30 plus yard plays given up.
Yeah,
allowed the Texans. So they. And we know, just if you watch the games week to week, you know that's been an Achilles heel for this defense.
Yeah, they're like, just like it's kind of weird to see that the Texans are where they are in scoring offense. It's kind of weird that the Texans' defense is middle of the pack in scoring defense. And you can blame some of that on the offense and field position and all of that.
Sure.
But a lot of it is that, you know, they've had porous moments either with big plays in the middle of the field or in the red zone, and they've allowed way too many passing touchdowns. So it's the consistency there of, especially this week where you have guys that, you know, haven't had incredible seasons in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, but we said the same thing about Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson going into the Jets game.
Yeah, and to be fair to both of those guys, it looks different when Tua's out there and it's not Skylar Thompson,
right,
Tim Boyle.
Right.
Like when Tua's been out there on the field, those guys, and especially recently, have put up. They were both at or above 100 yards last week in that Jets game. You know?
Yeah, I think I can't remember. One of them has had 300 yard games in the last 5 games or what have you. It's been in the offense. The Dolphins' offense has scored 31 or more points in 3 of their last 4 games.
Correct.
It's just you can't really look at the the rankings and the stats and all that and really tell what this team is. I think everybody knows, okay, the Dolphins are a better team than their record is right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans are going to treat every opponent with respect. If I'm handicapping this game just as somebody watching it or looking to bet on it, I wouldn't look at the Dolphins' record as 6-7. To me, I look at them, they're 4-2, in my opinion. That's their record since Tua came back from the concussion. That's how I would look at that, and that's why I think the Texans are just a 2-point favorite at home. If the odds makers are saying if this game were on a neutral field, the Dolphins are the better football team right now, you know, because you count home field as 3 points. Storyline number five, just all the, I'll call it football coaching incest in this game. You know, the fact that Mike McDaniel and D'Amico Ryans used to be part of the same family over there in San Francisco. Oh, they're going
to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
Anthony Weaver picked up. Yeah,
he's got those Houston ties. You think there's a little something extra for Anthony Weaver coming back here and wanting to, you know, his one season as the defensive coordinator did not go well here.
Well,
I don't think people are blaming him necessarily. That was.
I think with Anthony Weaver, it's probably more of the sum total of everything that you know. And I haven't texted him this week. I have a rule about not consorting with the enemy.
Yeah,
I don't want to get. I did try to get some info out of Mark Brunell before the Lions game, yeah. And all he did was send me flowery texts about how awesome Jalen Petrie is. So So, but that was the only time I've done that this year. The sum total of his experience here, he's a player here. You know, he was one of Gary Kubiak's first big name or big ticket items at free agency in 2006. So, and his wife is from here. He met his wife here. So maybe there's that. I think I'm more intrigued by Kendall Lamb. You know, Kendall Lamb.
Kendall Lamb, for those who don't know, he is the starting right tackle for the Miami Dolphins.
And Kendall Lamb's gone on to have a nice career. Every time I see him over the last 6 years, I do that Leonardo DiCaprio gif. Where you see something on TV and you point at it. Yeah. Like, I know that guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's that one. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the Wolf of Wall Street one where he's like, I'm not leaving. Like Kendall Lamb, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving the NFL.
The one of Leo DiCaprio, like, I can't remember if he's recognizing himself on screen or something else, but he points at the TV screen.
Yeah.
That's me saying, hey, Kendall Lamb.
I used to know
that guy. Yeah.
He's been around. I think this is his 10th year in the league now.
Who was the offensive tackle that was in one of the trade pieces for Laramie?
Julion Davenport,
because he started for them for a couple of years, I think.
He started for the Texans in 2018. That's why they traded for Laramie.
No, started for the Dolphins.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I thought you meant the Texans. Yeah, Julion Davenport. That was a time, man. The O-line's post-Dwayne Brown. That was quite the time.
So I think, the one that really matters is Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
So Mike McDaniel and D'Amico Ryans have schemed against each other in practice. They know each other. And it becomes that whole, like, you don't want to get too far down the road of he knows that I know that he knows that I know.
Yeah.
I think you got to ultimately try to remove all that stuff.
I agree with you. So someone's texting in Stingley versus Tyreek Hill as a big matchup in this game. I'm anxious to see, because you got Waddle too, you got Kamari.
Yeah.
How's that mix with Lassiter and Stingley versus Waddle and Hill? Are they following both guys? Or is it a lot of zone, do you think?
Right, and that's where the big test comes in is, all right, if the defensive line is doing really well, you're probably going to see a lot of zone out of the Texans. In a game like this, you just want to keep everything in front of you. Accept and understand that they're going to have some completions underneath. I'm guessing Tua's over 70% completion on the year right now.
Yeah.
So they're going to get some stuff underneath. You just got to contain it and you know, enforce an error at some point. So ideally, we don't actually see a whole lot of Derek Stingley or Kamari Lassiter manned up on either of those guys because the D-line is getting their job done.
All right, my prediction, by the way, I'm Texans 27, Dolphins 26. I think it's going to be a close game, and I'll take the Texans.
I'm going to end up somewhere close to where you are right there. We'll do mine at the end of the show.
Yep, we do Seth's prediction in the 9 o'clock hour, and he's been really, really accurate this year. All right, up next, headlines. We will we'll get you a little Thursday Night Football update. The latest with the Astros and the Major League Baseball hot stove rumor circuit, and a whole lot more coming up in headlines next.
And Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to the headlines for today. Let's start with the Texans. Texans-Dolphins on Sunday, noon kick, 9 a.m. Texans countdown. You can hear it all right here on Sports Radio 610. Postgame afterwards with me and Clint Sterner. Seth and I have you for the pregame show. I guess we just had a little bit of news relative to this matchup come down on the Dolphins side of things, Seth, right?
Yeah.
You just told
Odell
me this
Beckham Jr. Agrees that this was a big shock to me because I forgot that Odell Beckham Jr. was on the team.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. Mutually agreed to part ways with the Dolphins.
Okay.
He signed to a $3 million deal this offseason. He was on the PUP. He was activated October 5th and then didn't catch a game in his first three games. Or didn't catch a ball in the first three games. And, basically he's been replaced by Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
They're getting out of Jonnu Smith what they hope to get out of Odell Beckham Jr. So I almost only bring it up. It wasn't going to be a factor in this week's game. But I know that people are going to see the name Odell Beckham Jr. and there's going to be fan bases everywhere saying, "We got to get him on the squad."
Yeah, he's done. He's cooked. He gets activated in early October, right in the middle of Tua recovering from a concussion, so it wasn't ideal. But Tua's been back for a while now. Oh, it's been a long time since Odell Beckham Jr. has been anything remotely resembling a scary receiver. I guess he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl when he was with the Rams. The Rams is probably the last time he was somebody you had to account for on the field. He just hasn't come back from that injury strong.
And I think especially if you're looking for a guy like, if you want a veteran receiver who's lost his fastball, you want Robert Woods.
That's right.
You know, like it's just, okay, a guy that runs precise routes, a guy that knows everything really well. Like Robert Woods, you could have predicted 5 years ago that if both those guys were playing at the age of 35, Robert Woods is probably going to be the better guy.
Yeah.
But it's nothing we have to worry about.
No.
I don't think the Texans are picking him up.
No. Yeah, I don't think so either. As far as the game goes, nothing really new on the injury front yesterday. Everybody who was back practicing, you know, some guys went from limited to full participants. I don't think there's anything that jumps out. We just got to wait and see if today is the day or tomorrow where Christian Harris and Kenyon Green are officially activated to the
And the big question is is Zach Thomas, the guy they picked up a few weeks ago, who on Wednesday was starting at left guard in practice, and as far as I understand it, they didn't get to watch that portion of practice yesterday.
Yeah.
Will he play? And I'm always skeptical of this when some street free agent or waiver wire pickup comes in. People get excited because it's somebody new. Yeah. I watched his 21 snaps that he's taken in his career at guard with Drew Hodgson, my former Texans teammate yesterday.
What'd you find out?
Center. I'm more intrigued than I thought I was going to be.
Okay.
Drew pointed out some things that I kind of just hovered over, but the biggest part of it was, all right, this guy seemingly really knows what he's actually supposed to be doing and plays with good sound technique and a lot of the things that we haven't seen out of the left guard position so far. So I think there's more of a possibility we see Zach Thomas at left guard than I thought there was before. That I'm kind of in this mode where I feel like they're going to roll Kenyon Green out there no matter what he does. Maybe they see enough from Zach Thomas this week to give him a shot.
Yeah. I mean, it's nut-cutting time now, man. You got to go clinch a division and give yourself a little cushion to give yourself some rest before the season is over. Let's shift gears over to Thursday Night Football last night, because there's some really interesting audio coming out of this game. The Rams beat the 49ers 12-6 in an offensive shootout. The Rams were in a 44-42 game with the Bills 4 days ago. 12-6, no touchdowns scored in the game. But the big story coming out of this game, two things. One, the Niners are on life support now. They're 6-8. Season's probably over. Devondre Campbell, who is a linebacker on their team, they brought him in from Green Bay this year, and he refused to go into the game. Dre Greenlaw was back for the Niners from an Achilles injury, so he was the starter. It was thought that Campbell would be the backup. At least Campbell thought that was the case. Greenlaw comes out of the game because he needs to rest his injury a little bit. Instead, they put in another player whose name escapes me. I don't have it in front of me here. Winters is his last name. They put in Winters, D. Winters. He leaves the game with an injury in the third quarter, and so Kyle Shanahan walks over to Devondre Campbell and says, "Campbell, you're up." Campbell says, "Nope, I don't want to play." Doesn't go in the game. They've got to send in some other dude. And Campbell ends up walking off the field with a towel over his head at the end of the third quarter. They did not mince words about this, the 49ers. We'll hear from Kyle Shanahan and George Kittle. First, here's Kyle Shanahan.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he didn't, said he didn't want to play today.
Play today?
Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So
during the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
So they were literally like counting on him. You know, like it's not like he said before the game, like, I don't feel like playing today, you know?
They needed him. And this guy that started with Dre Greenlaw being out for as long as he was, and he probably is, his feelings are hurt.
Feelings are hurt, I guess.
I don't know. But George Kittle, I haven't heard the George Kittle yet. I heard Charvarius Ward. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what George Kittle had to say about it.
Does that create tension or disbelief or just disconnection on the sideline?
Not disbelief or disconnection, like, as a team. That is one person who just decided not to, you know, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, you know, we're falling apart. It's more of a, we're like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision. And I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that. And I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
that last part. Yeah.
Charvarius Ward said he figures he'll probably get cut.
Do you think he gets cut?
It sounds like for the players themselves to respond like that.
Yeah.
Because players don't mess around with talking about guys getting cut. It feels like there's a track record here.
Yes.
And if you look at this scenario, okay, so Devondre Campbell started 12 games while Dre Greenlaw was out. Yeah. Greenlaw comes back in, and now he's basically pulling a Brock Osweiler, Bill O'Brien deal, where Brock said, you only want me to go in because you need me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're the backup quarterback now. Devondre Campbell, guess what? You're no Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah.
All right, get over it. I can't imagine I cannot imagine being upset that I was being replaced by Dre Greenlaw, who was already the starter there and who was in no danger of ever losing his job. Devondre Campbell didn't play well enough to replace Dre Greenlaw.
Someone asked on the text page if you've ever been around that situation as a player. Did you ever see that happen as a player?
Oh, yeah, time? Yeah. It was seventh grade. I remember it. It was John Caleri. And he was a big kid that just basically was not cut out for playing football. He was a gentle giant.
Is that his real name? Because you're very protective of your NFL teammates. I love that you're diming out your middle school teammates by name.
No, it's close to his real name, but let's call him JC. JC was one of these kids. He was a gentle giant, and he was a kid. You know, football coaches see him, and they're like, "You got to play football, man."
He's big.
And then he gets out there, and you realize, like, oh no, this is Ferdinand the Bull. You know, he just wants to be picking flowers and chasing butterflies. The poor kid. I loved him. You know, he's like he was a good friend of mine. We all went K through 12 together.
Yeah.
He just wasn't cut out for football. And it sounds like Devondre Campbell has a little Ferdinand the Bull.
Maybe a little bit. So you never saw that in the NFL. Someone just refused to go into a game.
God, no. Yeah. No. I don't. Other than Brock Osweiler, it's a strange occurrence.
It is.
And you don't know how to process it, but kind of like with Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. When Anthony Richardson tapped out of the game, I'd never seen that from a quarterback in the entire history of football.
Yeah.
Now, Osweiler, I guess I should have brought him up. But, he's young. It's, all right, he made him, you know, like, that was a pretty bad mistake, but he's young and he's got to learn, like, okay, no, these are the standards.
Yeah.
But for a linebacker, especially on that
defense. Yeah, on that defense, very unswarmy.
Yeah.
Very unswarmy.
Man. No, no, no.
Very unswarmy. All right, those are your headlines. Nothing new on the Astros front. Sorry to put that in the tease. You know, hey, what's the latest on the Astros? Nothing. Bregman still hasn't signed, and they're still probably trading Kyle Tucker. That's the latest on the Astros. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Up next, a sign that D'Amico and CJ are fully in sync. They were asked the same question about the upcoming schedule and basically had the same answer. I think it does lend itself, though, to some interesting storylines. How do the Texans handle the next 2 weeks if certain outcomes are in front of us here this weekend? We'll talk about that as we head into the 7 o'clock hour coming up next.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.